question as to how to attract people is that we have to communicate what is the culture on the inside of the organization. We have to allow people to get a sneaky peek, if you will, into the team and understand what it's like to be part of this team, this group, this organization, this culture. Because if they don't know what it's like on the inside, the right people can't be attracted and the wrong people can't be repelled. And that's a critical point, Kingsley, is that we only want to attract the right people. And the more information about what it's like on the inside is a way we can do that.
But wait, there is more. Yes, there is more, because you're going to hear me today as I drill down in asking these tough questions as far as when, where, how. All of this is going to be unpacked today as you listen to your delightful host, the great interviewer himself, the one who is able to drill deep and ask the right questions. Because not everybody can do this. Only your trained and extremely talented and delightful podcast host like myself can do. And that's why you're going to stay tuned, because you're going to get what it is you come from. Yes, my friend. Yes, my friend.
Friend, we did a street job.
Oh, yeah. So we are going to dig into that, and you're going to hear more of that. So stay tuned. Make sure that you're strapped in as we get ready for blast off. So here we go.
Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, Emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, sitting behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. And it is from the show that's been voted number 3 on the top 15 podcasts on emotional intelligence by FeedSpot. And so I am excited that you are listening to one of the top shows right now. And I'm in the command center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I'm going to dig into the vault and get today's show so that what you've come for, you will have. So let me reach in right here and get today's show. There it is. I got it. And put it down right here. And now we can dive into today's show. And on today's show, we are going to be talking about how you can create a world-class culture that will enable you to attract the right people and repel the wrong people. How would you like to be leading a group of people when you have all the right people in the right seat on the bus? Imagine you driving that bus where everybody on the bus find themselves in the right seat. Man, how amazing that drive would be. And that is what your leadership can look like when you have these right people, or you attract these right people by building a world-class culture. You say, Kingsley, what's a world-class culture? Well, that's what you're going to hear from our guest today, Mr. Tristan White, who will be sharing with us his own journey as he has learned along the way firsthand in building his own company and seeing the success of his company and reached the heights he have reached in Australia with his company. And you're going to hear more about that. So I don't want to take away from what he will share with you. So let's kind of look forward to that. But before we get there, if this is your first time with us, thank you for being here. We have been waiting. You've finally made it. What has kept you so long? Hey, come on now. We have sent you the invitation for some time. What went wrong? Well, hey, you know what? Let's not worry about that anymore. You're here, which is an important part. So thank you for being here. And this, if this is your second, third, fourth, fifth, or more time, hey, what can I say? Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You're the one who's made this show a success. And for us to be what we are today and where we're headed, right? So thank you for making that possible. And so if you have not yet left me a rating and a review on the platform in which you listen to the show, then please make sure you do that today. Just a 5-star rating and an honest review, just for me to know what your thoughts are and how this show is possibly impacting you and your people. My friend, also, this show has been brought to you by Kingspire Communication, where we help operating leaders like yourself in the area of becoming better at decision-making, relationship management, and work performance so that you can have the results you're looking for. More productivity, higher engagement, better retention, and on and on and on. So head over to kingsleygrant.com, KingsleyGrant.com, and connect with us, and let's see if we have the right fit so we can join hands in helping you get the results you're looking for. And my friend, now, without any further ado, would you put your hands together and help me welcome to the show, Mr. Tristan White. Thank you for joining me on the Kingsley Grant Show, where emotional intelligence and leadership skills intersect. This show is designed for leaders who want to know what works and what doesn't work in today's workplace. Today, we have a special guest on this show. His name is Tristan White. Let me tell you a few things about Tristan, and we will fill in the rest as we go. Tristan White is a founder and CEO of The Physio Co., a unique healthcare business that not only ranked number one on BRW's list of Australia's 50 best places to work, but has made that list for 10 consecutive years. Tristan believes we spend such a huge part of our lives working that we have to find a way to enjoy it. He is passionate about sharing what he's learned through his blog and podcast, as well as through speaking opportunities at conferences and corporate events around the globe. In his book, Culture is Everything, Tristan shares his system for building a great place to work, and he's here to share some of those steps today. It's my pleasure to welcome Tristan White to the show. Tristan, how are you doing today?
Kingsley, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for the invitation. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
You're more than welcome. I'm looking forward to this. And one of the things I do, Tristan, is my audience needs to make sure that I'm not speaking to a robot. So I ask a question that helps them to understand this is a real person. So here's a question. Where in the world is Tristan today?
Kingsley, fantastic question. I'm a long way from where you are right now, and I'm in Australia, so down under in Australia. But when we look at the map of Australia, I'm in a very small town called Foster, F-O-S-T-E-R, which is in the most southern part of the Australian mainland. That's where you find me in my home office today.
Oh, awesome. So Tristan said, should someone travel to Australia and to Foster, what might be a must-see or do and a must-taste that you would suggest that they make sure before they leave there that they have done and tasted?
Well, there's as far as tasting goes, right next door to our little property here is a cidery, and there's a cidery called Gurney's Cidery, G-U-R-N-E-Y-S, Gurney's Cidery, and it is a fantastic place to not only sample the cider, but also get a view of the place that you should then go and visit. And the Gurney's Cidery overlooks Wilson's Promontory National Park. It's a beautiful national park, a place to go, some wonderful beaches, some great hikes and mountains to climb. And Wilson's Promontory National Park is a short drive from us here in Foster. So there are a couple of things you need to be doing if you visit us down here in a part of Australia called Prom Country.
Oh, awesome. And you know, I hear the idea of a natural park or a national park, Tristan. So here's the thing I wonder. So for me, if I was to come and I don't want to get lost or get, you know, kind of turned around somehow, are there, like, say, a leader or a guide or available that or to take you through that, or you can do this on your own?
Yeah, it depends on how adventurous you are, Kingsley. But of course, you can explore yourself. But yeah, Wilson's Prom National Park, Wilson's Promontory National Park, has a visitor center where you can speak to the rangers, speak to the guides. They can take you on a short guided walk or the like, or you can get adventurous and get out there and tread the path for yourself.
Awesome. Well, I'm telling you, that's really a good to know, and I do appreciate that our audience will. And you mentioned just now getting a guide. Basically, it would be helpful because obviously it allows you to possibly not overlook certain things, which I think fits right into our leadership conversation today, because a leader does serve in some capacity of that kind. So when you hear the word or the phrase leadership, so leader or leadership, what comes to your mind, Tristan?
Kingsley, what comes to my mind is that the term of guide is a really important one. And I've been a leader growing myself and the Physio Co for more than 16 years now. And I don't think in the early part of my career I would have used the term guide. I think I would have thought that being a leader was someone who marched ahead, cleared the path, and encouraged other people to follow their direction. I now realize as I've become more self-aware and I've been on this journey for a longer period of time and I've got a long way to go yet, Kingsley. there's so much more to learn and improve. But I do believe that the most important thing that leaders can do is to provide a safe environment for people to be supported, to take risks, to try new things, but then to hold people to account to the goals, the aspirations, and the intentions that they have committed to. And therefore, for me, leaders support people, they guide people, they hold them to account, and effectively at the end of the day our job is to create more leaders is my belief there, Kingsley.
Yeah, and I very much agree with 100% that leaders, that's one of the tasks or the jobs of a leader. Essential job is really to create more leaders. So I wonder, was there something that kind of triggered for you, or did it happen over time where you began to shift to this kind of descriptive leadership as you just shared with us?
Yeah, there's been a shift over time. And there certainly isn't one event or one day that I started acting in this slightly different way, Kingsley. But I think I've realized that not only do I learn from so many other leaders in my life and so many other people in my life. I think leaders need to be learners in everything that we do, from the people we work with to the things we do, from the to nature. Wilson's Promontory National Park that we mentioned just before is full of animals and plants, and there's so much to learn from all that sort of stuff as well, Kingsley. But I think I realized that I've been taking on information, filtering it, and then making decisions and joining this information together to make the decisions for me to be the best leader I can be. And I think I've realized that if that's the approach that I take and it's working and other leaders are doing something similar, then it's my job to help to guide people to discover the information, discover the techniques, discover the system, discover the things that work, and figure out the stuff that doesn't work. And we all have to make mistakes to learn as well, Kingsley, but we don't have to make all the mistakes we can learn from other people. So I think it's been a gradual progression for me.
I like that. Yeah, we do make some mistakes, but we don't want to make all the mistakes. So that's right. So I wonder, Tristan, would you then, as you look at your kind of evolution of leadership and how things are different, so to speak, now than they were then, Are there any noticeable difference you've seen with the people that you're leading when you began to shift your leadership style to what it is now?
I have noticed a change, Kingsley, and it is interesting you ask that because I made a slight shift over time, and then I've been refining and improving my behavior. And then it takes time to notice the impact it does have on the people around you. But I tell you what I do find now with this new approach of guiding people and allowing them to set their own goals, and then for my job to support and keep them to account, what I find is a deeper level of connection with the people that I lead, a deeper level of both personal and professional connection. And what I mean by that is it's okay to stuff some things up or make some mistakes. But I don't think that I felt safe and comfortable in my own skin to be able to acknowledge those and to accept those. And if that's how I was acting myself, then I don't think that it felt like anyone in my team that I was leading felt like they could make any mistakes as well. And that's just unreasonable. It's unfair. It's not human. And it's been a real noticeable change over the years that I've become more comfortable myself making mistakes and being more personally and professionally connected with people. And as a result, I get this stronger connection and a greater level of, I guess it boils down to trust and an authentic connection, Kingsley.
Yeah, you know, I love that that word trust and authentic connection, because I was thinking while you were talking, Tristan, that it requires some kind of, not just a shift, you know, in work per se or approaches or system, but it requires a mental shift of some kind that makes you or puts you in a more vulnerable state, I would imagine, but also that you are going to have to probably become, you know, a humility kind of an environment around yourself where to kind of quote step down or step into this kind of space you're describing. So would that be a true statement that it requires or a vulnerability of another kind, or is just not so? How would you see that?
I'm with you there, Kingsley, and that is that being vulnerable is a critical part of being a leader. And certainly for me, as my leadership journey has continued and progressed, I've grown into or leaned into, maybe I've got more comfortable with myself. Maybe it's a skill that I've learned from the wonderful instructors we've got, like Brené Brown, who teaches us about the wonderful importance of vulnerability. But I do believe that to be a good leader, you have to be more vulnerable. And for what it's worth, Kingsley, I think that I've personally been working from home a few days a week for a number of years. I live a fair way away from where quite a few of my team do live and work. And so I've been working from home for a period of time. And then more recently in 2020, we've all been working from home as we've worked through a pandemic situation. And I really do believe that that working from home, bringing people into your own home and your own life via video calls, by sharing what you've been working on personally and privately, and when the trust levels and connection gets deeper and deeper, without sharing all the dirty laundry, so to speak, but do being willing to share the stuff that's not working great, both professionally and personally, I think that's when we become more vulnerable and we create these connections which allow us to lead and in the end to do more purposeful work with people that we do enjoy working with, Kingsley. So vulnerability, certainly important part of my leadership.
You know, you brought a very interesting view that I've never thought about or given thought to, was the fact that even the whole, because of the crisis and the pandemic and the lockdown, that because people are doing more virtual and working from home, that when they do actually have to do a video call, they have a chance possibly to see a part of your environment that they would not have seen before, which makes it, I think, more meaningful, and you can connect around that in a better way. So I like that that idea that you brought up, because that's a great perspective to spin on all of this, what's happening.
Kingsley, it's so true. I'll give you a quick example there. And so we've in our business at the Physio Co, we've been working from home since March of 2020, and so it's about coming up to almost 4 months now that we've been working from home here in Australia, as we're doing our best to prevent the spread of the coronavirus pandemic. And a team member that I work with, Jessica. Or Jess, has been someone I've been working with for a long time, and she's always been based in our office, in our support office in Melbourne. And but during this pandemic, she's been working from a spare bedroom at home. And during that time, I forget where it came from, but Jess is engaged to and she will soon be married to a fellow by the name of Shane. And I don't know who gave Jess and Shane this cushion, and this cushion that had both their faces printed onto this sort of throw cushion that goes onto a couch or onto a chair. And but in Jess's home office or spare room where she was working from, there was a chair behind her, a comfy chair behind her, and she had this cushion of herself and Shane be on a photo printed onto it. And every time I had a video call with Jess, which is most days, in the first month or two of the pandemic, I'd say good day to Jess, would say hello, we'd connect, we'd see what's going on. And then I'd greet Shane. I'd say hello to Shane, who was simply a photo on a cushion in the background. But the beauty was, it was just a silly little recurring thing that we did each time. But that would have never happened if we didn't connect via video call when we were working from home. And so a silly little thing, but I'm with you. This connecting from home helps us to be more vulnerable and to know what's happening around people in their lives.
Yeah, you know, that's really a very thanks for sharing that, because I think that is really brings a different kind of level on how people can view this and see connection and really build the relationships, because you're being invited into a space that would normally not be shared publicly. And so that is really a very interesting idea. So I find that, Tristan, that one of the things that I hear, that going back to your own journey, that the shifting has occurred, that it kind of allow people then to want to be more there with you, because your vulnerability, they know, like, and trust you more and so on, which really kind of spill over in my mind and my way of thinking into a better kind of culture, right? So this is something that you talk about quite a bit. And so when you're thinking of culture, and even from your own experience or people you've worked with, what's your take on a given setting? Because I'll give you a quick example. My setting is where I find a lot of times what I hear from leaders, what I hear from people who are, team members, that their culture tends to be toxic, and they share what that looks like, what that feels like for them. And one of the things I find is a breakdown between leadership, how they engage with their people and their team, how they're being treated, and all those different things. So what kind of culture do you think it would be better, could be expected when a leader shift to more of the kind of style you described just now?
I think what you can create is a culture by design. And a culture by design is one where you build a culture of genuine personal connection with team members in a personal way that embraces the difference and the uniqueness that we all have as human beings. But we do it around the beautiful guiding principles, which I believe are critical for building a strong culture in a team. And they are the principles of a compelling core purpose for a team or a business, and that is, why does this business exist? Simon Sinek is the person who's really owned that message in the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. A short, sharp set of core values or guiding behaviors that really describe the way we do things around here. Another beautiful foundation of a strong culture. And lastly, Kingsley, a vision, a picture of the future as to where we're headed. And my belief, Kingsley, as a way to describe that is I see a culture by design looking a little bit like the outline or a sketch of a house. And if we think of a house on a street that's got a floor, it's got walls, and it's got a peaked roof. And the floor, I see, is the core purpose of an organization, the reason it exists. The core values, the behaviors that we expect around here, that we guide, that we praise, that we use for all sorts of things, are the walls of the house. And then the vision, where we're headed in the future, is the peaked roof of the house on the top. And what I believe that we can do if we connect on a human personal level, but we have these boundaries, if you will, or these guiding concepts in place in a culture by design, and we encourage people to come on inside the house and join us in there, and the culture that we've got in our team is based upon those beautiful principles that help us to connect and know what's expected, where we're headed, and how they can know they've done a fantastic job and belong in this culture.
You know, I like the analogy, or you know, that you use to share that about the house, and I love the phrase culture by design, because I think you're so spot on with that, because you can either have a culture that you design or someone's going to design it for you. And the question is, which one do you want to have? So I think when you're saying is that leader can have an idea and a vision of what he or she wants, or even the company have stated or set out, but invite people into that house is really important, because that's the first thing that needs to happen. So here's a question, Tristan. How do you invite people in that house where you're going to communicate all this to them? What might be something a leader might want to think about, how to get them into that setting so all the other things can actually be done as you describe?
Kingsley, it's so important that if you want to build a culture by design, which, by the way, is the opposite of that in my experience, is a culture by default. And that's when a culture is built when no one's paying attention to it, and it's a very messy sort of environment. But to build a culture by design, a leader firstly has to make culture a very strong priority. And I would suggest and nudge and do my best to encourage leaders to make it one of their most highest priorities. Because by making, and this is simply why I wrote the book called Culture is Everything, Kingsley, because I really do believe that if we focus on culture, and then we go about attracting people, then that's when we can make a purposeful business that does useful things in the world. But to answer the question as to how to attract people, is that we have to communicate what is the culture on the inside of the organization. We have to allow people to get a sneaky peek, if you will, into the team and understand what it's like to be part of this team, this group, this organization, this culture. Because if they don't know what it's like on the inside, the right people can't be attracted and the wrong people can't be repelled. And that's a critical point, Kingsley, is that we only want to attract the right people. And the more information about what it's like on the inside is a way we can do that. And so some suggestions there is that I really encourage CEOs, founders, business leaders, people who are responsible for a team to be authentic and public in their communication. We should be posting on LinkedIn about what's happening in our team. We should be have social media profiles. We should be blogging. We should be making videos. Now, it's not for everyone. I understand that not every operational leader feels like they want to be an Instagram star, if you will, or a YouTuber. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying in your own way, find your own voice in your own space, but communicate what it's like to be inside a team. And there can be organization type documents that can help with that. And for example, one of the principles in the Culture is Everything system that I think is really important and that we do at the Physio Co is to have a vision of the future, a 3-year painted picture vision, which gives a look inside what the team, the business, the organization will look like at a certain point in time, and it's built over a 3-year period. And then we publish that on our website and we give people a look at towards what we're working on, what we're building, what we're trying to bring to life. And Kings, I know that scares some people. They're like, why would we publish our vision? We'll tell the competition what we're doing. Kingsley, if we're on a journey and we're committed to our the way we execute on our vision, we'll define our culture and we'll make it different to the competition. And that's a critical part of being different, of building a business that matters and building a strong culture. So that was a long answer, Kingsley, but I hopefully answered your question.
You did. And I'm really glad that you brought up the idea of even that the 3-year painted picture of where you're going and even making that public, because I think that people are you know, when they can see something and actually be envision that, it tends to become a incentive or a motivation part that they can strive towards. So here's my question for someone who's listening, Tristan, and he or she is thinking, okay, well, I get it. I really like the idea. Now, with that picture that's been presented or being painted on, so to speak, for the whole team, is that something that is done basically in a vacuum, you know, so it's that someone does it and then present it, or is are you suggesting that it's something that's been done through a mutual approach? I mean, what's your idea, or how would you speak to that person who's listening, wondering how to go about doing this?
So there's a few ways. It really shouldn't be a surprise to team members. So anyone in the team who is introduced to a painted picture vision for the first time, it really shouldn't be a surprise as to what is being suggested and suggested for the team in the future. And so what I mean by that is that if it's a small team, a relatively small team you're working with in a small organization, then you can almost certainly gather feedback, input, suggestions from nearly all the team members and let them know that you are working, the owners, the leaders, the executive team are working towards documenting a vision for the future and gather suggestions as to what they're interested in, what they think the opportunities are, and commit from that. If it's a large organization, it's very difficult and I think irresponsible to try and get everyone involved in the planning process because we have to have the right people doing the right things, Kingsley. Having said that, as the business that I lead has grown, the Physio Co., we've had multiple three-year painted picture visions as we've progressed and grown. And each three-year painted picture vision has really been myself as the founder and CEO has had a very significant part of building those. Mm-hmm. But as each one has progressed and our team has got further and further, more and more people have been contributing. Mm-hmm. And as they've been built and as they've been the feedback's been used and the information's been collected and understood, as the painted picture has been built, before it's been released, we've certainly communicated the changing parts and the changing direction of our business, and therefore when a painted picture is released, it really just joins the dots for people of the messages that they've been seeing, they've been hearing, and now they're like, yeah, now I understand the updates from the leadership, I understand why we're changing this direction, why we're making these decisions, and really just help to bring people along on the journey. And so I think that's an inclusive process, but how many people you include and how formally you include them really does depend on the size of the organization, but remembering the right people for the right jobs is the critical factor there.
Yeah, you know, I like that distinction you made, Tristan, because I find that, you know, even as it's however it's done, I find it's now the leader's job to truly, in a very effective way, communicate that to the people continuously, not just a one-time thing. And the more they're in relationship with their people and their team, I think the people are more apt to be open to receive that information, but they all can see where this leader is taking them and wanting them to go. So I think that's really, I like the distinction between those two. So you wrote a book, Tristan, called Culture is Everything. You've kind of described some things I'm hearing from that book. So what led you to write this book, and who did you have in mind when you were writing this book?
Well, Kingsley, the concept of culture is everything is this idea of building a culture by design. And how it evolved and how it ended up being a book, which has now moved on to being an online place to help leaders build strong cultures, is that in the very early days of the Physio Co. in 2009, 2010, and 2011, we started really focusing on building a strong culture and gathering feedback as to what was working and what wasn't working by entering a study that studied and helped organizations understand their cultures. And we started to become successful in being ranked and being listed as one of Australia's 50 best places to work. And we found that really inspiring for ourselves, and we were very proud of that award, but also the feedback we got each year was really helpful for us to refine, to improve, to make sure that we were getting better year after year. And after a few years that we were continuously ranked as one of Australia's 50 best places to work, people started asking me, how do you do it? What's involved? What's involved in building a great place to work? And at that point, Kingsley, I used to give them a long, drawn-out, pretty confusing answer that sort of made sense to me, but they had no clue as to what on earth I was talking about and how to action or how to practically take that information and go and do something with it in their team. And so I realized, and this was an evolution, but I realized I had to make the communication much simpler. And so I then made a list of the 19 steps that I believe that we've been using at the Physio Co, to, which are really important to building a great place to work. And that became the Culture is Everything checklist. But 19 steps, again, is too many steps, Kingsley. So then it got broken down into the four secrets, or the four parts of building a world-class culture. And that there really is the evolution of a complex idea of building a team that matters into doing it, then synthesizing it, breaking it down into the steps and communicating it, and then telling it in a story, which is the book of Culture is Everything.
Oh, cool. I like that, how that came about and how it really fleshes out for that leader who is entrusted, how that is something that they can find systems inside there, they can repeat those systems. I like the fact that you also mentioned your own journey, Tristan, about the story that relates to that. I think that's really, good way of laying things out. And you mentioned earlier that there is a club that is formed around this. And so if you, as you're listening, you're wondering how could you find out more about that, you can go to cultureiseverything.club, cultureiseverything.club, and you'll be able to see what Tristan just mentioned. And also, if you want to connect with Tristan online, his website is Tristan White, TristanWhite.com.au. So it's TristanWhite.com.au, and you'll be able to access a number of things he described, but also the club, which is formed, a safe online space for leaders, which I think is so important to have that space where you don't have to worry about people wondering, you're there and get called out or thrown under the bus or whatever it might be. So this is a safe place for you that Tristan have described and described just now and has put together, so you can go to learn and to grow. And growing is so important, as you know, as a leader, that you want to make sure that you do, because you're not going to take your team higher than where you are. So I appreciate, Tristan, you having that available for people who are listening to avail themselves to. So as we're coming down to the end of our interview here, Tristan, I wondered if there was something that I possibly overlooked that you had wanted to make sure that you leave with us that didn't have a chance to mention. This is an opportunity for you to go ahead and just do that right now, if there is such a thing, such for you.
Yeah, Kingsley, thanks so much for asking. I appreciate it. The Culture is Everything club that you mentioned, and also the website, is a really important concept. But what I would encourage people to do is also to consider having a listening, if they are podcast listeners, which they must be because they're here with us, Kingsley, is to consider the podcast that I do share stories of leaders that are growing, that are learning, that are emerging. And that is the Think Big, Act Small podcast, would be a podcast that I also recommend if they're looking for another podcast to add to their collection.
Think Big, Act Small. I like that. And it's available on anywhere they can get access to podcasts right now.
All the usual places, Kingsley.
Okay, great. And the Think Big, Act Small podcast is also where you can have an ongoing diet of feeding from what Tristan have shared, plus a whole lot more that is available to you. So Tristan, I want to say thank you so very much for taking the time to be with us here on the Kingsley Grant Show and really helping us understand a little bit more about culture being everything, but also your own journey, which I really love the story of how you've evolved, but also let us in briefly on what that was like for you. So I really appreciate that. So thank you for doing that and sharing with us today.
You're welcome, Kingsley. Thanks for having me on the show. Thanks for the great work you do. It's really helpful for us leaders as we continue to progress in our careers.
Thank you. And there you have it, my friend. I hope today, like myself, you had some great takeaways. And I hope that what you found most helpful, you are going to implement or take it to your team and try to find out how you can create this world-class culture. What is one thing that you are going to act on? What did Tristan say that caught your attention, that stood out to you, that was most helpful to you. And what are you going to do now, my friend, now that you know? Now that you know. We would love to hear what your thoughts are. So if you would take a moment to wherever you're listening to this episode, again, you could leave us a rating and a review so we can at least see where your thoughts are on this show. But also on the platform and, you know, social media platform that you listen or you consume social media, when you see this post up and, you know, there's, please just leave a comment or ask a question. Let's continue this conversation. I would love to hear what your thoughts are. And actually, Tristan and myself would love to hear. So please engage us and let us know that you have listened and what the show meant to you. So I want to say thank you for that. Well, my friend, we've come to the end of our show. We need to put the show back into the vault. So here we go. Let's put this show away. Here we go. Here we go. There it is. And now that it is safely tucked away into the vault at the Immortelligent Leadership Institute at the Command Center, I can now safely exit and with that say my goodbye to you. So thank you again, my friend, for listening. With that said, peace out, God bless, and I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.